Hello and welcome once again, all of you, to the verse-by-verse Bible teaching ministry of the Wash and Word. As you may know, Wash and Word is the hand car washing business located in Church Hill. My name is Matthew Monona. Along with my wife, Victoria, we are the owners and operators of the hand car washing business. And we bring you these verse-by-verse Bible teachings through the money that we earn by washing your car. So if you are in support of this type of teaching, if you believe that God's Word in all of its fullness and its entire counsel should be presented, then we ask you to support this ministry by supporting this business. You can find us in the Palace Shopping Center in Church Hill right off of Highway 11. So these are verse-by-verse teachings, so let's get back into it. We just finished up chapter 10 of the book of Ecclesiastes. We got a couple more chapters to go, and we'll be on to the next book. So we're going to pick it up here in verse 11. And, you know, it'd be hard or virtually impossible for me to sum up the last 10 chapters so that we can kind of get up to speed before we begin chapter 11. So I'll sum it up two ways. First way is, you can go to washandword.com. That's our website. It's wash, the letter N, word.com. And all of our archive messages you'll find there under the media tab. And, you know, you're always encouraged to go back. They're free to listen to, free to download, free to share. We just want God's word to get out there as often and as, you know, in any way that we possibly can. But anyway, there you can kind of catch up if you're just coming in and hear all of our archive messages. So chapter 11, if we're going to sum it up quickly, we've been kind of working up to, you know, Solomon with all of his resources and all of his research. It kind of boils down to the question, how then should we live? And I think when we boil Solomon's findings and his teachings and his discoveries down, it should come down to that sentence. How then should we live? It's a summarizing statement. It's a statement that comes at the end of a discovery. So these last two chapters, maybe we can kind of close in on the answer to the question, how then should we live? As if he hasn't been answering it through this whole book. But go ahead and look at verse 1 and 2, chapter 11. Solomon writes, "Cast your bread upon the waters, for after many days you will find it again. Give portions to seven, yes, to eight, for you do not know what disaster may come upon the land." Let's stop right there, because I think Solomon is addressing an issue here that's one that we need to talk about. And that issue is the issue of money. Now, I know that when a preacher or a pastor or anyone promoting the Word of God starts to talk about money or tithing, a lot of people begin to shut their ears off. And this is one of the reasons why I do verse-by-verse Bible teaching, because I will only talk about money when God's Word talks about money. And it just so happens he's bringing it up here. But this isn't about giving or, you know, charity or anything like that. What it appears that Solomon is dealing with spending and diversifying and investing. It's a money matter for sure, but I think he's trying to get us to think about money in a different way. It's dealing with giving more than receiving or even accumulating. See, I don't know if you know this or not, but God's word is very contradictory, let me finish, to modern society. God's word is very contradictory to modern society. You see, modern society says you need to save a certain amount of money for your future and your retirement. You need to invest large and widely and wisely. And you need to diversify. You need to accumulate your wealth. And while that's not a bad thing or a wrong thing, it contradicts a little bit, well, a lot of bit of what we've learned so far going through the book of Solomon. And if we've learned anything in this book, it's that disaster can overtake anyone anytime. That's why in verse 2, Solomon says, "Give portions to seven, yes, to eight, for you do not know what disaster may come upon the land." We saw this most recently in 2008 when there was a collapse in the money market. But even if it's not a financial collapse or a financial calamity, any kind of family calamity or major trial that you go through, anything that takes over your life or even takes your life, is going to affect all that saving. It's not going to matter in the wake of certain events. So what Solomon is saying, and I concur, is that the best way to accumulate wealth is to give yours away. The best way to accumulate wealth is to give yours away. Now, I know what you're thinking. Oh, here it comes. Send money to the radio station. Send money to this ministry. Send money to the Wash and Word. We don't want your money. We don't need your money. God is our great provider, and we earn what we work for, and that's how we want to do it. That's how Paul did it. That's how it should be done. And, you know, we need to get away from the mega payrolls. We need to get back to preaching the Word of God because it's just the Word of God. And anyway, I don't want to digress, but I wanted you to stay tuned in because we're not asking for money. But again, the point Solomon's making here is the best way to accumulate wealth is to give yours away. Now, how's that for a contradiction when you think about modern society? In fact, let's read through to verse 6 and we'll kind of dissect this a little bit. Verse 3, if clouds are full of water, they pour rain upon the earth. Okay. Whether a tree falls to the south or to the north, in the place where it falls, there it will lie. Sounds plain enough. Whoever watches the wind will not plant. Whoever looks at the clouds will not reap. As you do not know the path of the wind or how the body is formed in the mother's womb, so you cannot understand the works of God, the maker of all things. Sow your seed in the morning, and at evening let not your hands be idle, for you do not know which will succeed, whether this or that, or whether both will do equally well. All right, let's stop there, because this is kind of Solomon furthering the points that we've been talking about, saying that it takes work, that the person that's working and watching, they're the one, they're the ones getting the job done. But those who are just lying around in the wind or staring up at the clouds, he's saying they're not getting anything done. And he says, we don't even know the path of the wind. We don't know how our bodies are formed. We don't understand how God did the things that he's done. Just sow your seed in the morning, he says, and don't let your hands be idle. You see, Solomon is trying to get us to think about the way it used to be, where we just work hard, we work, you know, honestly, we don't cheat people, and God provides for the person that provides for themselves. Now, I know a lot of people can't provide, and in those cases, God is a God of mercy, and he protects those who can't help themselves. We see that throughout the Bible. But the point is that if at all possible, we should be working, we should be giving that which we have in abundance away. And this is what accumulating wealth looks like. When Solomon says to cast your bread upon the waters in verse 1 there, he's basically saying make your giving diversified. It's not make your investments diversified, or is it? You see, it's quite a difference from making your investing diversified, but in a sense, what he's saying is the same thing. And what he's saying is that giving is investing. So yeah, we invest by giving, and we make our giving diversified, not our savings or our earnings or our investments, because again, giving is an investment. We tithe to several different places. We don't just tithe it all to one place. We diversify our givings. And that's what Solomon is trying to say here. You know, that whole I gave it the office mentality, it's not going to bless you. And it's not going to financially make you secure. Four reasons why we should give generously. Number one, it is the natural outflow of a full life. We see this in the first part of 3. Verse 3, if clouds are full of water, they pour out rain upon the earth. See, I like that verse. He says, and the clouds are full, they pour out. When we have enough, we should be pouring out. Again, number one reason why we should give generously, it is the natural outflow of a full life. Proverbs 11:24 says, one man gives freely yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly but becomes to poverty. Matthew 10:8, freely you have received, freely you should give. And if your life in Christ is not full, then I assure you that is your fault. Because Jesus himself said, I have come to give you life and life abundantly, a full life. Your focus is not on him. Your direction is not kingdom directed. And all of us fall short in this full life area at times. And that's why we need to refocus our attention and our eyes back on Jesus. We need to redirect our direction towards the kingdom. And your concerns have to be his concerns. How do I know this? Because a life that is full and complete was given to you at salvation. That moment you received the Holy Spirit, you were as full and complete as you were going to be. And the second that happened, your flesh, your fallen nature, started ruining the perfection of your salvation experience and your Holy Spirit indwelling. And so we leak, and we have to continue to fill back up. And by filling up through God's word, we begin to overflow onto others. If you are not living and giving as a natural outflow of full life, if it's begrudging and you do it just because you feel like you have to, that isn't a natural overflow. And there's no blessing in that. Friends, seek God, seek his kingdom, seek his direction. As your life begins to fill up, as your life begins to settle in line with God's will, man, you'll want to give. It'll be something that, you know, someone will try to stop you from doing because you'll be so excited about it. And so if your life is not full, if you're not feeling and experiencing the abundant life, I again say, assure you, it is your fault, but it doesn't have to stay that way. Your compass may not be true at the moment because when you face the cross and the result is that you see yourself in that cross and you're going to give back to God that which he has given unto you. Solomon uses full clouds as an example. When it fills up, it pours out. Think about that. A full cloud rains on others. Should not a full life do the same? The second of four reasons why we should give generously is not only is it a natural outflow of a full life, but we should give generously because you are where you are by the providence and sovereignty of God. We see that now in verse 3b. He says, whether a tree falls to the south or to the north, in the place where it falls, there it will lie. Again, reason number two, because you are where you are and by the providence and sovereignty of God, this is why we should be giving generously. The paraphrase to verse 3b, bloom where you're planted. But I just need to get a little bit more financially secure before I start giving. No. That's the wrong attitude. Mark 12, 43 and 44 says, calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on. So don't wait until you're financially secure to start giving back to others. Do it now. Let God show up. So many pastors leave their current posts for greener pastures and bigger churches and larger paychecks and geographical advantages, but that's wrong. Listen, when it comes to giving, do it now where you are. Remember, God's word is contrary to human wisdom. Give the most when you are most unable to give, because you cannot outgive God, no matter how hard you try. And often it is in the giving that stops. Well, that's when the funds begin to get low. And it is then that you should give even more. So we'll look at the other two reasons as our time winds down in our next teaching, but we're sum it up. Four reasons why we should give generously, because it is the natural outflow of a full life. Solomon says the clouds fill up and they pour out. And reason number two, because you are where you are by the providence and sovereignty of God. So God is in control. And we'll look at the next two reasons in our next teaching. We invite you to come by the Wash and Word. Let us clean up your car. Also, don't forget to go to washandword.com for the website to find out more about this business and this ministry. And you can come here live, verse-by-verse Bible teachings. I'm preaching at 6 p.m. Sunday nights at Abundant Life Fellowship on Old Union Road over by the community swimming pool. That's Abundant Life Fellowship, 6 p.m. on Sunday nights. You have a blessed day.